Amen. I'm like Brother Terrence over there. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Been good to be here. The Lord gave us a beautiful drive up here, a beautiful day.
Amen.
Enjoy. I'm glad this morning that most of all the Lord's in my heart.
Amen.
I'm glad that I've got joy in my heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes,
sir. Glad for what the Lord's done for me in my life, and glad
praise
for
the, Lord,
the message He's given to me this morning. Like we said, enjoy the songs.
Amen.
But it's important that we get the word as well mixed in with that,
amen.
Brother Robbie. The Bible
says,
Paul said in Romans, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation. Amen. If there's anything going to save this morning, it's going to have to take the word.
Amen.
Jesus Christ being the word himself. Amen. It's his blood that was shed on the cross. And that's what's going to count. Amen. When the time is gone, and it's our time to appear before the Lord, he's going to be looking for that blood on our soul. Amen. But I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad for this message the Lord has put on my heart. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 7.
That's in Jesus.
As far as I know, I'm going to be preaching out of this chapter here, a little bit of this, and maybe a little bit of chapter 8.
That's in Jesus.
But I hope this message will encourage each and every one of you this morning.
Lord
has given this to me a couple of weeks ago. Seems like the Lord just keeps doing that. About 2 weeks, he gets me ahead and prepared in advance for when Robbie needs me on his back pocket there to send me forth on the battlefield. But this message has really helped me, and I hope it'll help you as well. I'm going to start my reading in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Probably going to read the whole chapter, so just bear with me. But there's a lot of good stuff in here.
Amen.
We're going to focus mostly on the very end of this chapter, but I want you to hear all the word today that's spoken this morning. Just try to get your mind settled and grounded in the service this morning. Don't worry about what's going on at home. Don't worry about what you're going to be doing after church.
Amen.
It's important that we get our eyes on the word, our attention fixed on the Lord this morning. It says in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
Amen.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Amen.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Man.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Man.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Amen.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Amen.
We'll stop our reading right there. You just pray for us this morning. A lot of good meat, a lot of good word in this scripture here. And sometimes it gets a little tongue twisted there toward the end about doing and doing not.
Yeah.
We'll try to go over a little bit of that. But I want you to notice here, he's going through everything, it seems like, mankind itself is subject to.
Amen.
We find here the different laws that are mentioned, and that's kind of what's on my heart this morning. The different laws, maybe you could title the message, the laws that govern man. Maybe you could title the two or three laws or different things like that. But that's what's on my heart this morning. The Lord has shown me this week. You know, sometimes we try to do good, like Paul said. Sometimes we try to do good things, and sometimes we try to get out and do the work of the Lord, or maybe even just get out of bed in the morning and try to do the morning's chores, or get off and go to work. And there's every indication that we want to do good. Amen. But there's sometimes that we try to do good, and we end up doing the things that we don't want to do, the things that go against our spiritual man, that go against the laws of God, and we don't want to do them things, but we're bound, it seems like, to do those things. And that's what Paul was talking about here.
Amen.
He had a problem in the flesh. Amen. Every one of us has a problem in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh later on.
Yeah.
But everybody has this same thorn. And that is the fact of the sinful nature, the flesh, that we're all having to deal with as we are here. Now, I want to kind of break some of this down here. If you go back to the previous chapter, a lot of these people in Rome seemed like the Romans he was writing to here had used the salvation and the grace as an excuse to go out and do whatever they wanted to, as an excuse to go out and sin, because they had the label of grace applied. But Paul talked about, shall we continue to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? He said, God forbid. Just because we're under the grace doesn't mean we have a license to sin, as the old folks used to say. But he says in chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof.
Amen.
And then he begins to talk about his problem with sin. He begins to talk about how he is warring and entangled, amen, with his old fleshly body, this old fleshly nature. And I believe that what the Lord has to say in this morning will help each and every one of us out, because it's something that applies to each and every one of us today. But the one thing that matters, the one thing that's important to know, is that without Christ, without God, without Christ as your Savior, and Christ with the blood applied, amen, there's no way you can overcome sin on your own, amen.
Right.
And sin, the wages of sin is death. And so when it's all said and done, if your blood, your sins are not covered under the blood of Christ, and when you leave this world, you'll not be entering a place called heaven, but you'll be going to a place called hell, where the devil and his angels are, amen.
That's right, brother.
They're not even prepared for me and you. Amen. There's a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and we're not even meant to go there. Amen. But if the blood is not applied, then that's your fate that awaits you this morning.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
So we're going to help you a little bit if we can.
Yeah.
He begins to tell the folks here, about the husband and the wife and the law that we know today. We still have this law in effect. Amen. That if a man gets married to a woman, amen, and the woman decides to try to go out on her husband, amen, she's called an adulteress. She commits adultery. In the Bible, there's different instances of this. Just last week, Brother Donald was talking in Sunday school about a woman who was taken in the very act of adultery. Amen. And they brought her before Jesus, and they started accusing her. Amen. And without Jesus, there's no way she had any hope because her sins. Amen. But he said he began to write down in the law. He began to write down on the ground, and they began to accuse her before Christ. And he finally got up. After they had asked him what the Moses law said to stone her, he said, what sayest thou?
Yeah.
And Jesus got up from writing on the ground, and he said, let him that was without sin first cast a stone.
Amen. Amen,
we said last week that Jesus, by that qualification, Jesus is the only one that had a right to cast a stone at her, because
right,
he was without sin from the beginning.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We find that she was in dire straits, and all the accusers, one by one, begin to drop their stones. Man, I can just see that scene. I'm glad the devil today, as much as he tries to take up rocks to stone me and you, as much as he tries to throw stones at us and accuse us, I'm glad that Jesus has a final say. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They all, one by one, begin to drop their stones. And they left that place. Didn't have a word to say more. And then Jesus got up from right on the ground again. And he began to look around. He asked the lady, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Yeah. She looked around and said, "Nowhere, Lord. They're not here." Yeah. And Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse thee and condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's the fact of the matter. He called what she did, that adulterous act, a sin. In God's eyes, it is a sin. And he called it that way. He wasn't no mention, no words about it, but he called it what it was. But he said, "Go and sin no more. I don't condemn thee." That was forgiveness right there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
And I said all that to say this. We know what adultery is. But he talked about, Paul talked about this law, that if a man is married to a woman and she goes and commits adultery, she's bound by that law of marriage as long as that husband lives. But if something happens and that husband perchance happens to die, amen, then she is freed from that law. That law is no longer applied. She is freed from that. And Paul begins to use that as almost a sort of parable. Jesus used many parables, and this was kind of like a comparison, a parable which Paul was talking about that related from something carnal into something spiritual. He said,
yes,
and to end all that, he said, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ." See, when you become a new creature, the old man dies out. The old man that was under bondage of that law and the law of the Ten Commandments and all those other laws that were in the Old Testament, the old man has died out. And now we live a new creature and we're to be married to another, which is Christ.
Amen.
He begins to say we're not under that law anymore. We're not in bondage by that law anymore. He said, that way when we could we be married to another, even him is raised from the dead, that we should bring fruit unto God.
Yeah.
Amen. We are dead, and when a dead thing don't bear fruit, Brother Robbie. And under the old law, there's no way you can bear fruit.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't care how many times you try to live out the law, live out the commandments, you're not going to bear fruit for God, because he said under Christ is where the fruit is born.
Yeah.
Very important. If you want to accomplish something in the world, you can't do it on your own. And you can't do it outside the will of God. You can't do it outside the blood of Christ, because that's where the fruit comes from. Jesus said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing."
Yes, sir.
You can't bear fruit of your own nature. It comes from God. But he said, "For we, when we were in the motions of sins, of flesh, the motions of sin, that's the afflictions, that's the suffering. When we were in the old man, under the law, the motions of sin, which are by the law, did work in our members, to bring forth fruit unto death."
Amen.
He uses that word members a lot.
Yeah.
Amen. We talk about yielding your members as instruments to God.
Yeah.
A lot of times we think members, we think our arms, our legs, our hands. That's what he means. And he talks about that fleshly man, that man that's on the outside is bound, amen, by the old sinful nature.
Yeah.
But he says he talks about using your members to God later on. But he said, when we were in the flesh, when we were in the old law, we served sin, and those sufferings and those afflictions, those motions of sin, bore fruit unto death. It wasn't a life-giving fruit. It was rotten from the core, want to say.
Amen,
but now we're delivered from the law. That being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Amen.
Newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He talks about the law there. He talks about newness of spirit. This is the mention of a new man.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He says we're delivered from that. We're to serve in the newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. He begins to talk about law here, and how he says that the law itself is not by nature bad, but it reveals sin. Amen. It's almost as if sin lay dormant until the law awakened it. Sin was there all along, but he talked about, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, when I was revealed of my sin, when the light came upon that darkness, sin revived and I died. I became a dead thing, a dead man walking. Sin causes death, and it's a spiritual death most of the time before it's even a physical death. When we find that God told Adam that you shall die if you eat of the fruit of this tree, he began to die spiritually before he ever died physically.
Amen. That's right, brother.
But he talks about how sin took occasion. He says that a couple times. Sin taking occasion. It took an opportunity to rise up and use that law against me.
Amen, brother.
Because in this flesh, we can't fulfill the law. There's no one that can. Only one did. He was perfect.
Right.
Amen. That was Jesus. He's the only one to come to fulfill the law.
Amen.
So sin knows that. The devil knows that. And he begins to try to tell us and get us down and say we're not worthy and we're not able to live up to God's standards. So, you know, in our own self, Robert, we're not, but it takes Christ, amen.
Right.
It takes Christ. And it takes His life applied to us, His blood applied to us, that we can be considered worthy,
right,
amen, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. But I want you to notice this. Paul goes into this little rant here. And it's hard to talk about because I can't pronounce it. It's like a tongue twister. That I do, I do not. That I do not, I do. And all these different do's and do nots. Paul was basically saying what I said at the beginning of this, that the things that we want to do by our spirit, the inner man, it strives and struggles to do. But most of the time we find ourselves doing the things that we don't want to do, doing the things that are the flesh.
Amen.
And of the old sinful nature.
Amen.
Let me read a little bit of that a little bit, and we'll try to go over it some.
Let's see, Lord.
In verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin." The law is a spiritual thing, but my problem is I'm in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not." I don't want to do those things that I end up doing. "For what I would, the things I want to do, I don't do. That do I not. Mm-hmm. But what I hate, that I do." Notice that very strong word Paul uses. "The things I do are the things that I hate to do. Mm-hmm. I despise doing them." Mm-hmm. And his verse 16 says, "If then I do that which I would not, if I do those things which I hate, I consent unto the law that is good."
Yeah.
In other words, it's proving the law that it's righteous and I'm not.
Right. That's right. Come on, brother.
"For I know that in me," this is very key, "in my flesh," that is, notice that little aside he puts there, parenthetical statement, "for I know the in me," that is in my flesh,
right,
because we know the spirit in the man, the Holy Spirit,
right,
is a good thing.
Right.
"Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." He's not referring to God and Christ in himself in the Holy Spirit form. He's talking about "in my flesh dwelleth no good thing."
Mm-hmm.
"For to will is present." In other words, I want to do these things. I want to do those things. It's in my will nature to do that. It's present with me. It's here. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not." I don't know how to do it.
Holy Spirit helps us.
Remember Jesus when he was talking to the disciples as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They began to go to sleep on him.
Yeah,
and he was praying fervently. Amen. And his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Amen. He found the disciples sleeping and he asked them, he said, "What, couldn't you wait with me 1 hour and pray?"
Amen.
He said, "Watch and pray, for the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh."
Amen.
The flesh is weak.
Amen.
Jesus himself said that he knew the struggle.
Yeah.
That he himself, no doubt, as a man in mortal body, was warring against every day. The struggle was evident to in the fact that when he was praying, his sweat became his great drops of blood. He was wrestling with his flesh that was not wanting to give in to the cross. His flesh was resisting being crucified, but his spirit was willing to perform the will of God.
Amen, brother.
And become the Savior of the world. He says, "To will is present within me. My spirit is willing. But how to do that which is good, I find not. My flesh is weak. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Notice the word he uses there, evil. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." That sinful nature rises up and takes control. And then verse 21, it's very important. He says, "I find then a law. I looked the word up law, and every time it's used in this chapter here, and in the next chapter, it's the same word. The law of God, the law of, he's talking about here a different law. It's a moral principle. It's something that's basically written. Amen. It can't be changed. It's a law. It's kind of like the law of gravity. That's about the best way I know to explain it. We know what the law of gravity is, and there's different laws that apply in physics. that we understand. And when you go off the edge of a cliff, unless you got a parachute or a paraglider or something to help maintain you in the air, you're going to fall straight down. And even then, you're still headed to the ground, even if it's at a slow descent. That's gravity. We know and we understand that. The law of gravity. Paul says this law is just like the law of gravity. It's just as strong and it's just as real. A law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Notice he talked about doing the evil things. What he's talking about here is the evil of the fleshly nature. It's always present with us. As long as I live here on this earth in this body, no matter where I go, no matter what good I want to do, the same thing applies with everybody in this room. We have to take ourselves with us. You might try to escape your problems here in Tennessee and try to move away out to California. I don't recommend that because you definitely don't want to head that direction. Amen. But if you try to move away and you think a lot of people try to get a new start, Brother Robbie, and I think, man, if I just get away from this town, if I just get away from where nobody knows my name, amen, I can make a brand new start. I can have a good life and I can be able to finally be somebody.
Amen.
But guess what? You have to take yourself with you.
Amen. Listen, Jesus.
When I would do good, evil present with me everywhere I go. And that's the same with everybody in this room. We wonder why we struggle to serve God. That's why. No matter what we do, this fleshly nature wants to take over.
Amen. That's from Jesus. Good, brother.
Paul says in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Here's where we finally see a solution. The law of God after the inward man. Paul talks about the law in the beginning here, the first part of this chapter. He talks about the law, and he means the Ten Commandments. He means the old ordinances and all the 600 plus commandments that was in the Old Testament. He talks about that law, and then he talks about the law that when I would do good, evil is present. And now he begins to enter a solution. He says the law of God after the inward man.
Amen.
The inward man that has became a new creature. The man inside that God, that Christ has created into a new image. Remember, he said you must be born again. That's the inward man.
Amen.
The one that, where the blood has been applied. The new creature. He says, I delight to do that law.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to do that. That's what I want to. That's my joy. That's my pleasure. I delight to do that.
Amen.
But I see another law in my members. That law that he mentioned before about doing good and he was always present, that's what he's talking about. And he uses that word members again. This old fleshly body, everything we have is subject to that sinful nature. He says, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now the inward man is what he's talking about. Sometimes the Bible says heart, sometimes the Bible uses mind. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the inward man. Love God with that inward man. Because the flesh don't want to love God. They're contrary to the spiritual things of God with the flesh. They're at enmity one with another. The Bible talks about that, I believe, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But he says here, I delight doing the law of God, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, my heart, my inward man. It brings me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. My members seem to overpower that inward man. And this is why he says in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm just wretched. Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. And I have unclean lips. I dwell among men that have unclean lips.
Yeah.
He recognized who he was. And if you're going to be saved today, you got to realize and you got to recognize at first that you're lost.
Amen.
This is who you are. You're a wretched man and you are subject to the bondage of sin. And the only deliverance is Christ. That's it.
Good, brother.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body that I'm stuck in that tends to gravitate me and pull me towards death.
Yes, amen.
We know the answer to that. It's the very next verse. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that's able to deliver you. So then when the mind, with that inward man, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh is always wanting to fulfill its own lust. Bible says every man, now this is important. In James, he talks about temptation. He says that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and he's enticed. You see, being tempted is not the sin.
Right.
Yielding to temptation, that's where the sin happens.
Right.
When the action is taken, that's when the sin is judged at your account.
Good, brother. Yes, sir.
But he says, I with the inward man serve the law of God. But the sin, I still find that I'm dealing with sin and struggling with sin. Amen. But he says here, let's go on the next chapter because now we can understand. This is very important. This, I really got this the other day when I was studying this. A lot of times I read Romans chapter 8 and I call it the spiritual chapter. It's the one that talks about the Holy Spirit, the one that talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And I was satisfied with that.
Yeah.
But now that I know the nature of what's been we just talked about, it opens a whole new light to chapter 8.
Amen.
Paul says, first of all, there is therefore, a lot of people read over that, therefore means something came before that, and this is the result. This is the conclusion of it. So everything he said before about my struggle with sin and about overcoming sin with the law of the inward man, he says, there is therefore, because of this, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the key.
Yes.
We walk not after the flesh. We don't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
We strive. And that's why Jesus said you strive to enter, because it is a struggle, Brother Robin.
Amen.
Paul said strong words like hate and evil. And he says, I war.
Yeah.
I'm in constant warfare.
Amen.
And as a Christian, we are at constant warfare, spiritually.
But
he says, I don't have any condemnation because I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not walking after the flesh. I'm walking day by day, one day at a time, in the law of the Spirit.
Right.
In the law of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus, when he went away, he said, I'll go away, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter.
Man.
He says, this Comforter, this Holy Spirit, in 1 John, he said, he'll guide you into all truth. You'll need not that any man should teach you because he will speak of me. So he says, if you walk after the Spirit, you have no condemnation.
Man.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that's the new law, that inward man that came after Christ fulfilled the old law and arose and ascended to his Father, the Spirit came down, now a new law is in place. In Jeremiah and in over in Hebrews, it talks about a prophecy that will come to pass probably in the millennial reign or maybe after, where it says God will no longer have a table of stone to represent the law, but he said he'll put the law in their hearts. This is the law Paul's talking about. The law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. Jesus said, whom the Son, therefore, makes free, is free indeed.
Amen.
We're free from the old law. We're free from having to serve sin.
Amen.
We're free from having to live by the old law. Remember, he said, we're already dead to the law. We should be married to another. Who? Christ.
That's
how to overcome sin. You have to be committed to Christ.
Right.
In a relationship with him.
Amen.
Amen. He is your Savior. He is... As the body of Christ, we are called the bride of Christ.
Right.
And marriage is a covenant. It is a commitment between two people. Amen. Amen. That is probably the most sacred covenant of all.
Yes.
Short of salvation itself that God made with mankind.
Amen.
He says, for what the law in verse 3 could not do. Could not do. It wasn't that the law was insufficient. It was that it had insufficient vessels to work with.
Right.
It was weak through our flesh. Remember in the Bible, Jesus said he couldn't do many mighty works to her because of her unbelief.
Right.
That flesh got him in the way. That unbelieving flesh. He said it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Yeah.
Why do I have no condemnation? Because Christ received the condemnation. He didn't only condemn sin. He received sin's condemnation upon himself.
Amen.
He took the sin, my sins, your sins, when he was on the cross. He took them.
Amen.
All of them. And it said in Colossians that he nailed it to his cross.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're free from the law. We're free from having to do these old ordinances. And we now serve Christ with our heart.
With
that delight. Remember Paul said, I delight to do these things.
Amen.
It's my chief joy to do the law of God in my inward man. And now he says, here's how you do it. Amen. You serve the law of the Spirit, of life of Christ. It's a law of life. The law of the Old Testament is a law of death.
Yeah.
It pronounces death on everyone that can't live it. And we neither one of us, none of us can live it.
Yeah.
Nobody back then could live it.
Right.
It took Jesus. Right. But he said, in the light of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There he goes again talking about walking after the Spirit. Jesus, an exchange on the cross, an exchange took place.
Man.
When you go to the store and you buy something, you take out your dollar bill, you take out your credit card, whatever you got, and you exchange that for what you want to buy.
Right.
That's what you do. That's what the word redeem means. You buy that.
Amen.
You buy it. Amen. When on the cross, Jesus exchanged his righteousness for our sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise everything God. That I did that was wrong, everything that I didn't even know that I did was wrong, just because of the fact that I am in flesh, I am born under sinful nature, Christ took that upon himself and gave me his righteousness.
Amen.
He gave me his justification. That says, because I'm a born-again believer, because I'm a child of God and a child of Christ, that says that in the end of days, whenever I'm standing before Christ, amen, if I walk in His ways and walk in the Spirit like it talks about here, that says that when I appear before Him, God sees His righteousness.
Amen.
He doesn't see my sin. Why? Because Jesus already in His body received the condemnation of sin.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That judgment's already been passed.
Thank you, Jesus.
So now I have heaven to look forward to because of not of my righteousness, but of His righteousness, Brother Robbie.
Yes, sir.
Praise God, what a miracle that took place on Calvary.
Bad.
He talks about the carnal mind and being carnally minded is death, but the spiritual mind is life. Amen. To overcome this flesh that we live in day by day, we have to apply the Spirit of God. We have to search God and His Word and learn how to fulfill that law in our hearts and delight to do after His will.
Amen.
Our flesh overcomes us all the time. I don't know about you, Robbie, but sometimes I get in a depressful state of mind. I get in a lowly state of mind and I just don't feel like doing nothing. Sometimes there are days like that. Sometimes the weather can affect that. We know that scientifically and biologically. But sometimes it just seems like a drag just to get out of bed some days.
Yeah.
You know what I've been helped with this last few weeks?
This is Lord.
I've realized that's my flesh.
Yes, sir.
That's my flesh. It's in the way.
Amen.
I would like to get out of bed. I would like to do these things. I would like to be a happy person. But there's a war going on.
Right.
Everyone in this room can relate to that because we all deal with it. We all deal with it, but you don't have to be overcome by it. When you recognize the issue, when you recognize the problem, then you are that much closer to finding a solution.
Amen, brother.
And every time this week or the last week, the last couple of weeks that I've been thinking about this, that I didn't feel like doing chores or I didn't feel like doing this or even things that I would like to accomplish, things that would be good to accomplish and I would like to do, those good things I would like to do, when that flesh came up, it reminded me, time to get up off the couch, time to go downstairs to do some work, time to do this, time to study the Bible, time to practice your guitar, time to work on these things. It's very empowering to know that we're free from the flesh. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a slave to the flesh anymore.
Right.
Because Christ liberated us.
Right.
In Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, he tells them, he said, be not entangled with a yoke of bondage. He's talking about the law and circumcision back then, but even now, don't be entangled by this flesh. The law of the Spirit of Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death.
But
Romans chapter 8, if you want to go ahead and read that for yourself, that shouldn't have no whole new meaning now about how all things work together for good to them that love God. Why is that? Because they're walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
They're not walking in the flesh. And if you're walking after the Spirit, if you're born again, you're walking after the Spirit, God is working all things for your good.
Amen.
And you can rejoice in that.
Amen.
And you can delight to do God's will and His law because you know that it brings about good in your life.
Yeah.
I've got one thing to read here. I didn't even go to the other scriptures.
Bless you, Jesus.
But I've got one thing to read before I close.
Bless you, Lord.
As I studied this last week, I decided to sit down with my journal and start writing and finding out some good ideas and good thoughts as it applies to this. I encourage every one of you, don't just read the Bible, just passively. Get a pen and pencil, start writing down some notes in your Bible, get you a different journal, get you a different notebook, write down what God shows you. Because you may need it later on when the battle gets tough. Let me read this to you. In the light of Romans 7, especially the latter verses, Romans 8 is much easier to comprehend. Lately, I've latched on to Romans 7, 14 through 25, in relation to accomplishing daily goals. I've discovered that not only does the scripture apply to sin, but it applies to ordinary everyday life.
That's right.
Why is it, for example, that I do that which I allow not, and instead what I hate that I do? Mm-hmm. Why do I gravitate toward watching TV instead of getting up off the couch and doing chores? Mm-hmm. Why do I gravitate towards doing these other activities instead of doing what I know to be true? Mm-hmm. If you're on a diet, why do you eat junk food instead of all the healthy stuff? Because that flesh wants that junk food. Man, I tell you, we had pizza this past week, but I suffered for it.
Yeah.
I feel it. That my flesh wanted that.
Bad.
Amen. But the spiritual man knows how to discern what's good. The answer, because of the law of sin in the flesh. Paul said that this was a law in his members, a fleshly law, in other words. It is as much a law as the law of gravity, just as the one he mentions in verse 21, that when he would do good, evil is present with him. Why? Because we live in the fleshly body, which is opposed to good and godly things, actions, and activities. Mm-hmm. This is why Paul says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Remember that Jesus said when instructing his disciples to watch and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his capture, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We went over that this morning. Now then, before we move into Romans 8, we must acknowledge Paul's observation regarding the law of sin. God has made a way of escape.
Amen.
The law of God after the inward man. This is the law he delights in doing. Why? Because the inward man refers to the spirit within. Paul also refers to this as the mind. The law in his members, the flesh or sin, is at constant warfare with the law of his mind.
Yeah.
It's even so powerful, it brings him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. Think about that.
Yeah.
It binds him again. He was released from captivity, but sin wants to entangle you again.
That's right.
But thank God we have spiritual weapons which are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Yeah. That's one of the references I was going to go to this morning. They cast down imaginations at every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sin captures the spirit and wants to hold it bondage. But the weapons of our warfare are not the fleshly.
That's right.
They're able to defeat the flesh because they're spiritual weapons. Able to pull down mighty strongholds.
Right.
And able to recapture every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Right.
And that's in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5. Did you catch that? We may be brought into captivity by the law of sin, but our spiritual weapons, among them the inner law of God, are able to take captive the carnal, fleshly thoughts and rein them back in the obedience of Christ.
Right,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is why and how God can perform until the day of Christ that good work which God hath begun in us, Philippians 1:6. And how God can work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13.
Amen.
Now, on to Romans 8. When Paul begins the chapter with therefore, that's referring back to the final verses of chapter 7. So you can't fully grasp the concepts in chapter 8 until you combine them with the rest of the story in chapter 7. Paul begins by saying, those who walk after the law of the Spirit and not the law of the flesh receive no condemnation. This is not only because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death, verse 2, but also because Jesus himself condemned sin in the flesh. Because the law of sin was weak through, or by reason of, the flesh. Verse 3. Mm-hmm. When I consider the word condemned in both verses 1 and 3, I realize that Jesus not only condemned sin in his flesh, but he himself was condemned. Mm-hmm. Because of our sins which were placed upon his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He was condemned that the righteousness of the law of sin in the flesh might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Lastly, in this new revealing light by the scriptures, it's easier to discern the power of the statements in Romans chapter 8 regarding being carnally and spiritually minded. The spirit of life, mortifying the flesh. He talks about mortifying the flesh.
Yeah.
How are we going to overcome it? We've got to put it to death.
Man.
By the spirit of God. And the spirit of adoption. So the next time you find yourself avoiding or procrastinating a task, good deed or assignment from God, refer back to Romans 7 and 8 and see how Paul overcame the situation.
Amen.
And became more than a conqueror through Christ that loved us. Romans 8:37. How do we become more than conquerors? We walk after the Spirit.
That's right.
The flesh is, it tends into death. It leads into death. So there's no power, no overcoming in the flesh. It's only in the Spirit.
Amen.
So as we go about our daily lives, as we think about procrastinating or putting off to tomorrow what should be done to today and all these other things that we know about, are we really submitting ourselves to God in the Spirit? Or are we letting our flesh take over?
Right.
Our flesh is not the boss. We're not the servant of flesh anymore, the servant of sin. We don't have to serve sin. Jesus came and overcame that.
Amen.
And now we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
So think about that
praise
today.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Brother Donald, if you would get a verse of the song.
Praise the Lord.
As we stand this morning, Paul says over in Corinthians, let every man examine himself,
amen,
whether he be in the faith.
Amen.
Remember I talked about an exchange earlier. Christ exchanged our sins for His righteousness. But we have to come and willingly receive that free gift.
Yes.
It's all about receiving it.
Yes.
Our own sin. I can't receive it for Brother Donald. Amen. I can't receive it for Brother Robbie. He can't receive it for me. It's got His name on it.
Amen.
It's got my name on it. I have to stretch out my hand and say, Lord, I willingly receive Your righteousness in exchange for my sin.
Right.
And you can do that today if you're lost.
Right.
And you realize these words have applied to your heart.
Right.
And you want to move closer to God. Maybe you just need to move into God.
Right.
And apply Him to your life as He says.
142.
Think about it this morning.
Hear the blessed Savior, all beings.